So today's podcast and episode is all about feeling loved. It's that term that we're all looking for, that we all want to feel. And especially if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably single and you're looking for that one to love and to be loved. You know, it is a core need as humans, and often this is the one thing we struggle with. And this is often why a lot of relationships end, is because of not feeling loved. We seek love from others so often before we seek it within ourselves. And I think that's actually the opposite of how it's supposed to be. Because you can take two partners and you can have one that has the love language, let's say they have the love language of quality time. And if you haven't read the Five Love Languages book by Gary Chapman, I encourage you to order that today, because it will open your eyes to a whole new perspective on how people loved and maybe your past relationships and why they didn't work out and why there was miscommunication. Because the thing is, as a human being, we all love differently. And there's five core love languages of how people love. And when we experience those things, our core love language, we feel loved. But when we don't, and someone's expressing love to us in a different love language, then we often feel unloved. So let's say your partner's love language is quality time. They love to spend time with you. They always make an effort. You know, they make an effort on a daily, weekly basis to put time aside to spend just with you. That is how they show love, and that's how they feel loved, is when you offer quality time too. And let's say your love language is maybe gifts. And you, when you receive gifts, that makes you feel incredibly loved and connected. And you give gifts to show your love to other people. Either love language is completely okay. It's just how we express love differently. So some other love languages might be like physical touch or words of affirmation, acts of service. So those are the five different love languages: acts of service, gifts, physical touch, words of affirmation, and quality time. And everybody expresses one of those. Sometimes we express more than one, but we all pretty much have one dominant love language. So it's important to find out what your partner's love language is so that you can make them feel loved, because we all express that differently. But the thing is, we go into relationships and we often don't know their love language, and we are expressing love to them, or they're expressing love to us in a different way. And then sometimes that miscommunication comes in. We think they're not doing things to make us feel loved. We don't feel loved by them, but actually they're loving us in the greatest form that they can, because they're expressing their love language to us. We just don't see it or recognize it. So that's when misperceptions come in. And people break up, you know, arguments start. So it's really important to know how people express love, but also how you express love. And the thing is, what I'm trying to get to today is that we often look to others to make us feel loved before actually loving ourselves to the fullest. And I think that's when things come into dating and relationships that make us, or not make us, but we tend to maybe settle in toxic relationships or settle for dates that aren't showing up for us, because we are not loving ourselves fully. We're just trying to get that attention and seek love and attention from someone else instead of showing ourselves what that looks like first. Or maybe that's how relationships end. Maybe you went on a few dates and you're just not feeling the connection with this person. You don't feel like they're giving you, they're not showing up. They're not giving the attention to you. And showing up, I mean, they're not showing like quality time or words of affirmation or whatever it is, and how you feel loved by them. So I think a lot of times we get it backwards, and instead of focusing on how to love ourselves fully, we look for people to show that to us. But the thing is, we actually teach people how to love us. We set the boundaries. We don't settle for less. We show up. We treat ourselves with respect and love. We have confidence in who we are. And when we do that, we immediately attract higher quality dates who in turn love us more deeply. So, and just to be completely transparent, this is something I honestly have struggled with for my entire life, is feeling loved. And ironically, my name, Amanda, means lovable. So, but it is something I've struggled with my whole life, you know, with past relationships, with, you know, dysfunctions in my family. So there's all kinds of things that can really make us not know how to love ourselves fully, because we were never shown that as a child or shown that in relationships. And then we just don't know that we can actually love ourselves 100%, 110% fully, way better than anybody else. So it's important to learn how to love yourself fully before dating and looking for that relationship. And I know it's so hard because we've all experienced heartbreak and we've all experienced these things that make us forget sometimes our self-worth or forget how we're supposed to be loved because we were never taught. So in my meditation a few days ago, I was meditating just on life and things. And I've been doing a lot of work on like healing things from my past, like relationships in my childhood. And what comes up are always things that where I struggled with that love, with feeling loved. And yeah, I'm a matchmaker, but this is something that I had to work on, and I've went through the trenches, so I know what I'm talking about, and I feel like I can lead people because I've been there, and I am on the other side of it, and it takes work, it takes time. So I wanted to share with this with you today because I think it's such an important subject, and it's kind of like that core foundation to get you to attract better dates and to date high quality people. But as I was meditating, I was saying some affirmations, which I highly encourage to, especially with this topic, to focus on, create some affirmations that, you know, speak positive about yourself. That's teaching yourself how to love yourself. But so here's the thing I was meditating on. As I was looking at saying these affirmations, I realized that I had to learn how to love myself fully before even feeling incredibly loved by someone else. You know, even if that other person does not love me like I think they should, I need to have that with me, that I feel incredibly loved, that I am loved. It might not be by this person or who I think it should be, but I need to know 100% deep down in my soul that I am loved deeply by God, by the universe, whatever it is that you believe in, that you are loved. You're loved by the people around you. So in that moment, I just realized that I needed to think about, how does that look? If I was going to step back and see me, let's say as a child or the woman I am today, how would I love her? What would that look like? What would that feel like? So I begin to journal out exactly what that looked like and how that would feel, how I could deeply love myself and how I would do it if I was the person on the other side looking at me wanting that love. So would it be, you know, buying me flowers every day or weekly? Would it be telling me I'm beautiful? Would it be telling me that how much they were in love with me? Whatever it was, I took those things and I wrote them down in a journal and made a commitment to love myself like that. Because here's the thing, even if you're dating someone and you're in a relationship, they're not always going to love you 100% like you think they should 24/7 all the time. Relationships are not perfect. That's just how life is. Every human has their own perceptions, has their own way of loving. And you have to come together and communicate about those things to make it better. But it doesn't always just automatically happen. That's a fairy tale. Relationships do take work. I'm not saying they should be hard and difficult and crazy, but I'm saying they do take work. You have to learn from each other. So it made me realize I had to start with me. I had to journal out all the stuff and learn what made me feel loved and what was I doing in to myself to not make me feel loved to the fullest. So it was simple things like going to the spa, you know, that makes me feel amazing. Buying myself flowers, I love fresh flowers. Or maybe, you know, reminding myself how beautiful I am instead of just nitpicking on my flaws, like my stretch marks and my wrinkles and, you know, maybe my hair needs to be done, whatever, or my, you know, I'm gaining weight, whatever it may be. Instead of being so hard on myself, how would I feel loved instead of being so critical on myself? Because we are often our worst critics. We're so nitpicky about, you know, our makeup's not right, our hair is not right, but really we're beautiful. And if we just step back and just think about that from like an outsider looking in, we can have a new outlook on who we actually are. We are gorgeous human beings. Those stretch marks that I have were created because I carried two amazing children in my body for 9 months each. And I created those little humans, which I love dearly. So they're like love marks. I shouldn't be critical about stretch marks or things that, you know, are changing. Or things that, you know, are part of me. So, you know, often I see people, and this is just an example of an outsider looking in, often I see like friends or just people on the internet, and you know, you see a picture of them all made up with like heavy makeup, you know, it's photoshopped, and then you see this like natural picture of them with hardly any makeup on, maybe they're on, you know, at the beach or the lake or whatever, and they're very natural looking, and I'm like, oh my God, they are gorgeous without all that makeup on. And I think they probably don't see it that way, but I think they're absolutely beautiful. And I think that's an important point, to kind of look at yourself, like, instead of having all these flaws, to look at how beautiful you really are. Like, those stretch marks are gorgeous. Those laugh lines, the wrinkles that have been caused by laugh lines, what a blessing, because you have had an amazing life, or whatever it may be. Find something just to really love on yourself and be appreciative of it. So I want to encourage you actually to get out your journal and start making a list of how you would deeply love yourself if you were your partner or a person on the outside looking in. How would you want someone to love you? Journal all that out, okay? And I want you to start focusing on those things. If it's getting flowers, start buying yourself flowers. If it's going out to dinner, a nice dinner, start taking yourself out to a nice dinner. Start dating yourself like you are the best partner in the world and you are incredibly loved. And when you start doing those things for yourself, it teaches other people how to treat you. That's when you start setting higher standards and boundaries. You won't settle for those toxic relationships. And you'll attract those higher quality dates every single time. So get out your journal, make your list. I want you to make a list of how you want to feel and when you're loved by someone. I want you to make a list of what that looks like, being loved by someone. And it can be, I want you to write out the feelings. Is it bliss? Is it passionate? Is it joy? What does that feel like? Really dig deep. And then what it looks like. Is that getting flowers? Is it going out to nice dinners? Is it going on road trips? Is it spending quality time watching Netflix? Whatever it may be, how do you feel loved? And write that out. And then after you journal that, I want you to go back to that every day and do those things. Do something every single day that makes you feel loved. Write some affirmations out that say, I am incredibly loved. I am beautiful. Put them in your phone as reminders. Put them as post-its on your mirror. Just reminders that you are incredibly loved because you are. So, and these are not unrealistic expectations, you know, in a sense. I think it's definitely realistic to show someone how to love us when it's like healthy behaviors. So that's what I want you to focus on, the healthy behaviors of what makes you feel loved, and journal those out. Now, there are unrealistic things and expectations of how we feel loved. And it could be like extravagant diamonds and trips around the world, which, you know, that can be unrealistic in a sense, but you can still do that for yourself. I mean, if you have the money, go do it for yourself. You want to buy that big diamond, do it. Go take trips around the world, but do it for yourself before you expect someone else to do it for you. Because I do see people that expect, you know, 4-carat diamonds from their boyfriend, but they're not, you know, doing those kind of things for themselves. So you don't want to be, you want to make it realistic, of course, because love is not materialistic. I mean, flowers and stuff are nice, of course. Trips, if you get to go on them, of course, are nice. Of course, those are amazing. But also focus on the things that are not materialistic of how you actually want to feel. Because let me tell you, I was in a relationship that I got the trips, I got the big ring, I got everything, all these gifts and extravagant things. But after a while, you know, it was like he was trying to buy my love and make up for how he treated me on the outside of that. And I realized in that moment that I would rather live in a box than have someone, you know, than in my dream house and have someone treat me like that and try to buy things to make up for it. I'm telling you, the inner stuff, how they make you feel at the end of the day, outside of the gifts, means way more and will last way longer in a relationship than any diamond or trip, okay, or whatever it may be. So it's really the little things that make you feel loved on a daily basis when you're with someone. So do those little things to yourself that, you know, just remind yourself daily how much you're loved, buy yourself the flowers, whatever it may be again, just a bunch of little things that you would do to make yourself feel loved daily. That's where it matters in a relationship, the little daily things that we do for each other. Okay. And then, you know, I thought after I journaled all this out, well, am I doing this for the people that I love daily? And the answer was no. If I, you know, just to be completely honest with myself, I'm not always doing those things, and I should be. So I'm not always loving myself deeply enough, and I'm not expressing that love deeply enough for the people that are around me. And I just realized that I was not doing on either side. And I do love, you know, the people around me, but I feel like there's things I could improve. I could tell them. Like, I have one of my best friends, her love language is words of affirmation. I know all my best friends' love languages too, and they know mine. So I know hers is words of affirmation, and she's my dear best friend for years, like 30 years or something. Yeah, it's been 30 years. So am I telling her enough how much I appreciate her? No. Or my other friend who her love language is gifts. Am I showing that to her enough? No, absolutely not. Or my children, am I showing them their love language? Or my boyfriend, every day, am I showing them something from their love language to show them how much I love them? No, I'm not. So I totally missed the bar on that. And I know I need to improve. So, you know, we need to be mindful about that to love ourselves deeply, but also to be appreciative and show gratitude and love to the people that are already around us every day, because that's what matters, guys, is really just filling this world with as much love as possible. You all know that's my mission because I'm a matchmaker, but we have to look at it in the moment as well and spread it as much as we can. So, and when we do that, we again attract more love. So when we give more love to ourselves and to others, we attract more love. It is just, that's how it works. That's how the magic happens. So since we all love differently and we easily forget how to express love according to each person's love language, then that's when we begin to feel unloved. And so I want to encourage you today, because I'm going to do it myself. I'm not going to give you a challenge that I haven't done or I'm not doing myself. So I know it works. So I'm going to be more mindful and try to be more mindful from now on how I express love to those around me and express love to myself to deeply love myself. So I'm trying to be more mindful about that. I'm going to actually put reminders in my phone so that I don't forget, because we get so caught up in day-to-day life, you know, work and kids' sport practices and all the kind, just daily chores, that we forget those little things that mean so much to people around us. So in this challenge, I'm giving it to myself, and I'm hoping and I'm expecting, actually, no, I am expecting to see the miracles. I'm not just hoping, I know it's going to happen. I'm expecting to see the miracles take place in accordance with love and how I can expand that within my own home, with my own friends and family, in my own relationships, and just see the ripple effect that it has within my own circle and community. So I want to challenge you today to journal out all that. How would you feel to be deeply loved? And how can you incorporate that into your own life by loving yourself that way? Then take that and maybe find out your best friend's love language. Maybe just do something, an act of kindness. Spread that love out from you as you're practicing loving yourself more. Make sure you're loving those around you as well. And let me know how it goes in the comments below. I'd love to hear all of what you do. You guys are amazing. Have a wonderful week, and I love you guys. Bye. You know what I've found as a matchmaker is that people often project their pain onto you. And that can be in like a dating relationship. It can be in a client to, business relationship. There's so many hurting people that have not dealt with the baggage. They haven't dealt with the inner work that needs to be completed to heal and get to the next step, that they start to project that pain onto other people. And oftentimes it's not meant to be projected on someone else, but it does come out, and they project that pain or experience onto a person that has nothing to do with the experience that or pain that they haven't dealt with yet. So when we perceive things in life, it's like we go through life and we make these projections on a situation or experience based on past experiences. And that's when the problem comes up. That's when the relationship problems come up. That's when the dating, if you're successful in dating or not, that's when those issues come up. Because when we approach a situation or an experience, a new situation or a new experience or a new relationship, based on the projections of our past, we put up limitations on that new experience or that new relationship because we are already prejudging something that has nothing to do with our past. So, for example, when you go on a date with a new person, but you have experienced great heartbreak in the past, let's say you've been cheated on, you've been with an emotionally unavailable people, or you've just had bad experiences with dating in general, and you go on this new date, but you already have these false expectations in your head of how you expect it's going to go. Now, you might be hoping that it goes well and it meets all your goes above and beyond all your wildest dreams, but there's the problem. That's when the blocks come. Because subconsciously, we already expect it not to go well based on our past experiences. We already expect to look for the bad in someone based on our past experiences. Instead of approaching that new date or approaching that new experience with, I'm going to have a great time. What can I find great about this person? How can I enjoy this time? We automatically dig through the past experiences and project those onto that new experience. And when that happens, we automatically self-sabotage ourselves. We self-sabotage that experience of feeling great, of joy, of amazing connection. We've already set the stage to self-sabotage in that situation. So oftentimes I hear people that come to our singles events. There's two different groups of people that come to our singles events. There's the ones that will enjoy themselves and have fun no matter what. And then there's the ones that are the complainers, the negative Nancys, the ones that are looking to find something wrong, that are looking at the people and prejudging them before even meeting them or getting to know them. They're prejudging a situation instead of having fun no matter what the situation, or no matter what the choices are at the singles events. They prejudge it and they automatically set themselves up for success and to have a bad time. But then I have the opposite people that come in and they're joyful, they're fun, they're engaging,
They are the people that other people want to be around. They're having fun. They're enjoying themselves no matter what. They're creating conversations with people that they probably wouldn't date, but they're creating those connections. And that those people, more often than not, actually, I think every single time, end up getting interest from other people at the event. They get more dates. They enjoy it. They meet new connections. They might not go on a date with someone that they meet at the event, but they've had such a great time that they leave happy. They leave fulfilled. The other people are drawn to them. So there's a huge difference with the two types of mindsets. One is setting themselves up for success. The other is setting themselves up for self-sabotage and failure. The people that set themselves up for success are the ones that will just have fun with dating. They're happy with themselves. They don't need someone to create happiness in their life. They're already creating that for themselves. They don't need that someone to complete them. They are already complete, are working on that process and completing what they want in life themselves. Those are the successful people. The people that feel like when they go to these events and have these high expectations of, you know, they maybe the person that they see the people and they're not attracted to anybody there. That's okay. You're not going to walk into every single room or get on every single dating site and immediately find people that you're attracted to. That is not what human connection is about. Human connection is about connecting with humans on an emotional level, having conversations. It doesn't mean you have to connect with them or you don't have to be attracted to them. You can still make connections and be a decent human being. That is what human connection is about. And the thing is, when people see you act in such a way where you are so focused on finding the superficial things about people in a room and prejudging people in a room, that automatically lowers your attraction level. And I see it all the time. I've done hundreds of singles events and I've worked with thousands of singles, and I see it every single time. The people that walk in a room with a smile on their face and they're having fun, their attraction levels are instantly raised and people want to be around them. I have noticed it. Even if I take like the most attractive person in the room, they're having fun. Someone that maybe is not the most attractive person in the room, but they're fun, they're engaging. The attractive, most attractive person will be attracted to that person and want to talk to them and hang out with them for the night because of what they radiate. But the person, it could be even the most attractive person in the room and have a very negative mindset. And then that person, you know, nobody wants to talk with that person. Nobody wants to hang out with them because they're so negative. They're not having fun. They're not enjoying life. And who wants to be around that? So the thing is, to get back on track of what I was saying earlier, is we project our past pain, our past experiences onto our current situations. And when we continue on the same path, we could repeat the same patterns and we don't move forward into something beautiful and happy and of growth. And then that's when the problem comes in. That's when the things start to, you know, we start to feel more frustration. We wonder why we keep attracting the same people over and over and over. It's because we have not identified what is holding us back. If you are not dating successfully, then there is some type of block there. There's something holding you back from moving forward into a more successful dating life. And I'm saying, you know, a successful dating life does not have to mean you're in a relationship. A successful dating life is, it means you are dating high quality people. You are attracting high quality people. You are having fun. You are enjoying the journey along the way to find your one. That is a successful dating life. The people that complain and are trying to rush the process are not dating successfully. I guarantee you they're not. So that is why I say, when you go into a situation or on a date, are you projecting the past onto a current situation, or are you looking at the current situation as a new opportunity, as something brand new, something fresh, something that's never happened before? What can you find out great about this person in front of you? how can you enjoy this night no matter what? And I know some dates are just horribly horrible and you can't enjoy them no matter what. There are those exceptions, but I'm not sure how you got to that point of going on the date with that person, because there should be some screening before you even meet in person. So I'm not saying every date is wonderful. We've all had horrible dating experiences, but the more you do it, the more you learn how to screen for those right qualities. You're not just jumping into meeting everybody you chat with online and you do some type of screening to see if it is a respectable person, then that you should look for how can I have fun in this experience, in this moment, in this now? Maybe it's just, having a conversation about your passions or your travel experiences, whatever it may be, and you're just getting to know this person. So something that I did when I was dating is I like to look at dating as, okay, I'm going to meet a new person. What can I find out great about them? And I always thought, well, if it doesn't work out, I plan on having a great conversation, getting to know someone and what they're all about, and just enjoying the night out, a night out to grab a drink or grab some food, whatever it may be. I had some really fun experiences while I was dating and did different things, that were really, just fun. So, and the same thing when I met my man, the night I met him, I was actually planning on meeting friends later that night, and our conversation ended up going way longer than I expected. But I went into that date with the expectation of, well, I'm having a great conversation with this guy. Even if it doesn't work out, he would be a great person to hang out with in the future and to be a friend with, because he had just moved into town. And, he was new to town, didn't know many people. We loved to do the same things. We loved, hole-in-the-wall concerts and stuff like that, and, exploring and finding new musicians. So we loved a lot of the same, and we did a lot of the same things. So I thought, well, worst case, he could be a great friend just to hang out with, and go to concerts with. So I was already looking at the expectation, okay, what can I find out great about him? I found out great things. And then I switched that to, okay, if it doesn't work out, no big deal, no pressure. If it doesn't work out, he's not my person. But in the meantime, I'm going to have fun with this. I could hang out with this guy and have a good time. And actually, a lot of the people I dated before him actually turned into friends. I don't hang out with them now because I'm in a relationship, but before I met my man, the guys I dated, I would hang out with once in a while as a friend, because I always looked for things that were great in that person. And so some I would, go boating with, or some I would go, just out to eat or whatever, go grab a drink, because I found out something great within those people, and I didn't automatically go into the date thinking, okay, what is wrong with this person? Looking, just setting it up for self-sabotage. I had that positive expectation that I could find something great about this person. So I know it's hard sometimes not to project the past onto a current situation or a current person, but it's important to be mindful of that when you are dating, so that doesn't happen. Because you don't want to self-sabotage a potential great relationship, because you're projecting false perceptions, false expectations, false stories onto a relationship that has nothing to do with the stories that you created in the past or created in your head. So, and I know that's often very hard, because we're so in, those past stories, those experiences are so ingrained within us that it's hard to really heal and clear those out and start fresh, because we have, for years and years built those up over and over and over, and we often repeat those patterns subconsciously, not realizing what we're doing. And then it just, it has a snowball effect into our current life, our current relationships, our current experiences. So, and that's a whole other subject to talk on how to get past that. But just a few things that you can do is, when those old stories come up, ask yourself, is this ultimately true? Is this ultimately, you know, true for my story now? Is this ultimately true for the person sitting across from me or the person I'm dating? And the thing it usually is, the answer is usually no, it's not the ultimate truth. This is a story I've created from a past experience that I'm holding on to. So when we do that, when we can recognize it and identify where it's coming from, we can then say, okay, why is this not the ultimate truth? And then we can start to shift that story that we've been telling ourselves into a new story. So if I am, you know, telling myself a story that all men cheat, I can ask myself, is that ultimately true about every single man? No, it's not. It's not true. Not all men cheat. Some men cheat, some don't. Some women cheat, some women don't. So that is not the ultimate truth. It would could be a story that I put into place based on my past experiences, which I did do that actually. You know, my ex-husband did cheat on me, and I put that story, you know, I had to erase that story. You know, there are things that trigger me or experiences that trigger those past experiences with him that bring up that sense of fear, that bring up that sense of limiting belief. And I have to identify it. And I have to say, okay, where is this coming from? It's coming from a past story. Is it the ultimate truth? No, it's not. What is the ultimate truth? And then I tell myself the ultimate truth. Okay. So that's just a quick way to identify and be mindful about what's going on in your head and how you can make that shift really quickly and get back to truth and get back to a healthy mindset of what's really going on. That will kind of like push you into a higher energetic state. It will also push you into a higher attraction level because you attract, you know, like attracts like, and that's, you want to make sure that you're constantly on that mindset level of growth and calling in a higher mindset person. You don't want the lower qualities because that's what gets us in trouble every single time. So when you go out on your next date or when you are just going to a new place, a singles event or wherever it may be, ask yourself, is my mindset about this situation coming from a past experience? If it is, ask yourself, is this the ultimate truth? No. And then replace it with the ultimate truth. I have a choice to have fun in this situation. I have a choice to have fun and enjoy myself at this singles event. I have the choice to enjoy meeting new people. I have the choice to enjoy this date, whatever it may be. So for another example, I was talking to one of my clients. I actually set her up with someone, and they've been dating for quite some time now. And before I set her up, she said that she went to a singles event that was hosted by another matchmaker in our area, and she had a really bad experience. And I asked her, I said, you know, well, not all singles events are like that. So, and that's why she actually said, that's why I didn't go to one of yours that I saw advertised. And I told her, you know, every experience is different. Every event is different. Every single one of my events, new people come in that I've never met before that haven't mingled together. But then oftentimes we have people that have been. We have, you know, people that continue to come to our events. So we do have people that have attended that you might meet before, and then you'll meet new people. But you never know what type of crowd will come in, but you can't let that deter you from trying something new and going. Because what if you're the person you're supposed to meet didn't go to the last one or hasn't joined that online dating site yet? Maybe they're working on some things themselves, their, you know, inner work, and they just haven't made that leap yet. But you give up too soon, and then you don't cross paths at that time. I always say to really tune into your intuition, tune into your gut feeling when it comes to going to places. Now, there's a difference between fear and intuition, like your gut feeling of absolutely not going, or fear of coming out of your comfort zone. There's two different things, and you really have to tune in to know the difference. Like fear of not, of getting out of your comfort zone is scary, and it kind of takes a nudge to get you there. you wish you could kind of jump over that and go, or, you know, not have the fear of the unknown. When you have a nudge to do something new or go somewhere, or you have that nudge, like, I should do this to get out and have fun, you need to go. You need to go. If you have a fear of, like, it's a different type of fear, like, you shouldn't go, like, it's heavy on your heart, like, you really shouldn't go, listen to that as well. I think our intuition is very strong, but we have to know the difference between the fear of getting out of our comfort zone and the fear of, you know, something trying to give us a warning. There's two different things, and people often get those mixed up, and it's important to really tune into your intuition, learn the difference, and start to do things out of your comfort zone so that you can tell the difference. Because I tell you, and I've told this story a million times before, there have been many moments in my life where I didn't want to go to an event, but I went and I met people that changed my life for the better. So make sure that you step out of that comfort zone and try new things, go to new places, you know, and start replacing those old stories of fear with new stories that are going to create that new life for you, that new beginning, because you don't want to stay stuck in the same thing. You don't want to stay stuck in the same mindset or the same place. You obviously want something different in life, because you're on this podcast right now. You're debating this in your head about going to a singles event or whatever it may be. So make that choice to do something out of your comfort zone and start to tune into your intuition. So that is all I have for you guys today. I encourage you to take these steps and apply them to your life. Even if it's baby steps get you to start you in the right direction. I love you guys. Have a wonderful week, and let me know how your new stories go.